This is Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Toldos, Part 2, entitled, Did Yitzchak's Blessing to Esav Encourage Jewish Persecution? So we mentioned in the last year that when Yaakov took the bracha from Esav, it caused a tremendous imbalance, right? There was a commentary that brought in this very brilliant analysis that Avram and God had worked out a way that all punishment of the Jewish people should come from Malchiot, come from domination of other major world powers, and not from, God forbid, Gehenim. And now that Esav bracha was taken by Yaakov, and Yaakov was now destined to be permanently dominating Esav, that completely ruined the system of reward and punishment, and it had to be calibrated and adjusted. And how do you do that? Because now, of course, Yitzchak had to give Esav a new bracha, and that bracha had in it a contingency clause that if the Jewish people should break the Torah, then now Esav would dominate over Yaakov, and that, of course, brought everything back into equilibrium. The question is, by doing so, it means, in effect, that all kinds of terrible things happen, and all kinds of tragedies happen in Jewish history, starting, of course, with the most obvious, Esav being Rome destroying the Second Temple. But you can throw in there all kinds of inquisitions and crusades and massacres right down to the Holocaust, which is, of course, Christian Europe, which is also Esav. So let me ask you, does that mean that because Yitzchak had to restore the equilibrium, he could in any way be blamed for all these terrible tragedies that happened? You would probably say, of course not. But the Medrash actually explores this area, and that's what I want to talk about in this part two. So the Medrash first says, and I'll quote, that what exactly is the language that the instruction sort of that Esav was given, which let him know that if the Jewish people break the Torah, that he could dominate them. Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chalifta, Imra'ita Chicha, Porek Ula Shol Torah Me'alav, Gzor Olav Shemadim, Atash Aleit Bo. You see, Rav Chalifta said, if you see your brother throwing off the yoke of Torah, you can decree upon him persecutions and dominate him. So this is very, very harsh language, and the Medrash seems to find fault with it. The Medrash quotes a pasuk which says, Ki ata avinu, Ki Avram lo yadanu v'Yisrael lo yakiranu. So there is a pasuk in Yeshayahu that the Jewish people are talking about. You know, God is our, you know, God is the one we have to turn to, because we know from the past that Avram didn't help us, and Yisrael, which means Yaakov, didn't help us. And Yitzchak is not even mentioned in this pasuk. And the Medrash goes so far as to speculate the reason he wasn't even mentioned is because, as the Medrash says, Mi shehu omer lo gzar lo shmadim ata metchapikipo lo avot, the one who actually uses that language and instructs Esav to do shmad, to do this terrible destruction upon the Jewish people, that's the guy you're going to put in with the other avot in this pasuk? No, you're not going to do that. So there is definitely an implied criticism of Yitzchak, and of course this leaves a terrible question. Wasn't Yitzchak just, as we said, trying to resolve an imbalance, a very important imbalance that wouldn't lead the Jewish people to going to the alternate system of punishment, which was Gehenim? Wasn't he doing the right thing? Furthermore, isn't it a major principle in Medrash that we've learned so many times that adversity is exactly what God uses in order for us to grow and learn and fulfill our potential in this world, our spiritual potential? Isn't this the way the world works? And of course, you know, God uses Esav to do this. Esav is a tool of God, right? So you can't blame Yitzchak for this. If the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it's only because the Jews brought it upon themselves and every other tragedy. Esav is a tool, just like we all just went through a very heart-wrenching, traumatic experience on Simchat Torah in Israel when Yishmael was used as a tool, and we don't understand why, but we know that something, we brought something upon ourselves, and we have to live with it and kind of grow and get this message and grow and learn from it. Same is true with Esav. So how can you blame Yitzchak for this? So let's go back to Yeshayahu and see what exactly this pasuk means that the Medrash is using for a proof. As I said, it talks about Avram didn't know us and Yaakov doesn't recognize us. So Rashi says that, you know, it's a simple case that they weren't praying for us. You know, Avram, you know, saw in the Bris Ben Absarim, he knew what was going to befall us in Egypt. And yet Avram didn't pray for us at that time. And Yaakov also did not pray to save them from the trials of tribulations that happened in the Midbar. What's interesting is that the Metzudah David, takes this much further and says, this is actually quite negative view of Avraham and Yaakov. Maybe so negative that you wouldn't even want Yitzchak to be included in this list. As I said, Avraham had a clear vision of Bris Ben Absarim that the Jewish people would go into slavery, and he didn't pray. And Yaakov, based on another medrash which we've learned, when he had that dream of angels going up and down the ladder, that was actually the four kings that dominated the Jewish people. And he saw the domination of these kings, and he could have prayed. Those four empires, of course, are Babylonia, which destroyed the first temple, and then you have Persia, Media. This is overlaps with the Purim story when we came back to build the second temple. And then you have Greece, and that, of course, is the Hanukkah story. And lastly, you have Rome, Esav, who destroyed the second Beit HaMikdash. So in this list, Yitzchak is not mentioned. Another interesting fact is that the Gemara in Shabbos uses the very same pasuk for the exact opposite reason. Instead of indicting Yitzchak as being the only one who did not advocate for the Jewish people and didn't make this list, there, the scenario is exactly opposite. Yitzchak is the only one that advocates for the Jewish people. There, the scenario we're talking about, the end of days, and both Avraham and Yaakov seem to say, you know, if God forbid the Jewish people have to be destroyed because of their sins, that would be a great Kiddush Hashem. We do not protest. And only Yitzchak said, what are you talking about? First of all, he said to God, these are your children. Just, you know, don't talk about what my children have done wrong. These are your children. And second of all, you know, the average man only lives about 70 years, and you're not liable until you're age 20, so now you have 50 years. And then if you reduce the amount of time it takes for sleeping and eating and taking care of your bodily needs, you're actually left with 12 and a half years where you could possibly sin. And Yitzchak says to God, if you want, we can split the responsibility of those 12 and a half years of sin. And if you don't want to, then let me remind you about the Akedah. And that event itself, with Mesiras Nefesh that I did, that should take away all, you know, arguments and accusations against the Jewish people. So ultimately, in Gemara Shabbos, as in Yeshayahu, what happens is that the Jewish people come to a realization that it's not the Avot, not the forefathers that they're going to depend on, it's God. And they only have to direct all their prayers to God. God runs the world, and God will ultimately save them. And in fact, Yeshayahu is actually perhaps mirroring the pain of Galut. And even though it would have been convenient to blame it on Yitzchak, since he was the one that sort of authorized it, but the truth is, it's not the Avot. As I said, it's God. That's the realization they come to, that only pray to God, and that is the answer. And of course, this reminds me, in this very, very troubling times that we are now, when we're all saying Shir HaMaalot all the time, Tehillim 121, Shir HaMaalot Esei Na Elohim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri Ezri Me'im Hashem Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz. So this is what we're doing, and we're seeing so many stories of Jews all around the world who are coming back and are recognizing that everything is from God, and God runs the world. And perhaps we can get some kind of solace in the fact that, just like in Yeshayahu and Gemara Shabbos, the resolution was that the Jews clearly saw that God is the one to appeal to and God is running the show. The same is happening now, and may that continue. Have a great Shabbos.